And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, and Rock God Rick Mexa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Corey Sandin in the mighty 1090 studios with Captain Aaron Barnhill. Of course, Aaron's well known in the long range fleet, but he is a commercial albacore fisherman now. So we're going to be talking long range, albacore, and more right here. Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California sport fishing voice on the mighty 1090.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pongas. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. It's unique.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it. So what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use this special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and stoked to be in studio today with you, Pete, with who we have.
Yeah, for sure, and glad to have you, Corey. Ricky's on a little vacation with his family, so over in Hawaii, so he'll be back in a couple weeks here, so good for Ricky. Get out there and have some fun. But Aaron Barnhill, great to have you, man. Captain Barnhill, of course, we've fished with you many times on the Shogun and other vessels. You're still kind of active in that fleet, right?
Yeah, still running some trips on different boats. So yeah, Shogun, the Rooster, Success, Paul, just kind of filling in where need be.
And the off season for what your real job is now, right?
Right. So my boat's Pacific Pride out of Crescent City, commercial albacore fishing. So the boat's crabbing right now, and then I run it during the albacore season, which starts around June. You know, it goes somewhere in October.
The Pacific Pride, and it's out of Crescent City?
Yes.
Wow. So the boat lives up there.
Lives up there. And then once we leave Crescent City in June, we don't come back till we're done. We unload up in either Westport or Ilwaco.
Wow. So what? How big a boat is it?
It's a 58-foot crabber. Yeah. 58 holds, holds about 40-ton albacore.
40-ton albacore. And what kind of – are they fishing Dungeness?
Yes, yeah, they are.
Out of Crescent City?
Right. So they fish Oregon, Washington, and California.
Oregon.
So right now, California.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, talk about a good-eating crab. I mean, albacore, let alone albacore, but Dungeness crab, one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah.
You
know?
That's excellent.
No, so you don't do the crabbing thing?
No.
That's got a, that sounds rough.
Yeah, I'm a fair weather fish.
Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, the wintertime up there, it must be gnarly cold. Yeah. And.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you see enough of your weather, right?
Yeah, in October we start getting some weather, and yeah. You don't want no part of that the rest of the year.
Yeah. So your season runs when?
Pretty much we start trying to get out by June 1st just to get a lay of land and see what's going on. And then so we jig, you know, not bait fishing, but just trolling.
Okay.
June, July, and into August. And as soon as the albacore starts getting on foamers, then we switch over to bait fishing with the poles. And
in the racks.
In the racks and start getting into that. And that starts sometime in August. And then usually September is our best month, and then we fish in October. So,
how was this season?
This last season was okay. We had a good start, really good jigging for what goes on. And then the fish just kind of vanished the first week of September. So we're on a good pace for a season, and then they just split.
Hmm.
So
where'd they go?
Rumors they went up into Canada and then swung west, but we don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, as much as the biologists know and as much as we know as on-the-water anglers, you know, I mean, you really get tuned into what's going on. But in all reality, we really don't have a thumb on any of it.
We don't. And it's amazing how you can, no matter where you go, some days you can see fish everywhere, and then the next day you don't see a single one.
Vanished.
And then everyone spreads out, you know, and you can travel a long ways going 8 knots during the day and no one sees any fish. They just vanish.
They have tails, right?
And they have tails.
And,
yeah.
And if you think about it, I mean, the tuna themselves, I mean, whether it's yellowfin, bluefin, or we're talking albacore, I mean, they cruise at 5 to 6, 7, 8 miles an hour themselves.
At least, you know, they're constantly swimming. So, you know, definitely I think we underestimate how much that fish moves. Bluefin, yellowfin, you know, albacore, everything.
I mean, 5 miles an hour just cruising over a 24-hour period, add that up, you know,
yeah.
And over the course of a week, I mean, they
That's some serious time.
Right.
Yeah. So are albacore a lot like bluefin? Like what we saw around here the last few years is that they were biting in the same general zones, like in the same, like really close to where they were the year before or the year before that. Is that typical with what you guys see up there with albacore?
You do see them show up in the same areas year after year, and you see the same kind of water develop in those areas year after year. I think it has to do with the coastline, the currents, and stuff like that.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
So we usually start down there off Cape Blanco, you know, and then that's where we start jigging early, and then kind of work our way up the coast. But they generally, there's a few areas, especially like from Newport, Oregon, up towards the river. You know, we do a lot of fishing in that stretch.
That's like your prime.
That's our prime zone.
Yeah.
And then later in the year, a little bit farther north, you know, above Westport. But typically around the river, you know, up above that, below, it's where we do most of our fishing.
Does it ever come in tight to the beach like it will locally here when it comes in? Or, I mean, like within, you know, 9 to 12 mile? Or,
yeah.
Or is it more like that 60, 80 mile far off, you know?
So there's different grades of fish. Typically, we see that bigger fish on the beach, you know, and we'll get it in, you know, a couple hundred fathoms. You know, you can see the mountains.
Interesting.
Yeah, about 20 miles off, something like that. Wherever that green water meets that blue water edge there, and even into the green water, that big fish will be. And then, you know,
what is big fish?
Big fish for us is like 25 pounds or bigger.
Okay.
So, and you really don't want them any bigger.
No.
Because they're. You can't get them on the boat quick enough.
16, 20-pounders are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our
jig
fish are that, like 11 to 14-pound fish or something like that. But, yeah, those mid-teens, the 20-pound fish is good. Once they start getting bigger, you start tearing a lot off because they got soft mouths. So, and then once you start tearing some off, just like any other tuna, they kind of back off and stop biting a little bit.
Interesting. Interesting. Huh. It's such a unique fishery because when you can get that grade of fish on the boat, I mean, you're handling them as quick as you can, number one, but number two, or first and foremost, they're being handled so gingerly and so putting right into the chill system. And
yeah.
And when you buy a can of albacore, I mean, that's such a sustainable, I mean, the key word, sustainable, it's...
Exactly. There's no bycatch. And then the quality, you know, our fish goes through AFA. It's our deal with Jack Webster started when those other guys, Scott and those guys, and the... that premium pack can, there's nothing like it on the market that you can get. So
that's all the pole caught. Like,
all the pole caught fish.
American tuna?
American tuna, yeah.
So you fish for that fleet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know some of our fish early are jigging fish that we bleed goes like a processor in Canada, goes to Urban Plates and some other restaurants and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you bleed the jig fish, but you don't bleed the
No, for campfish we don't. You know, but typically I'd say close to 3/4 of them are pretty bled out and get torn up when they, you know, when they
just,
hit the deck. Yeah.
Just a matter of the fact of the way they're
caught and everything. So.
So when you're jig fishing versus when you're bait fishing, like what's a good day big bait fishing and a good day jig fishing? How many?
Day jig fishing, like, you know, what we try and do is a ton a day.
A ton a day.
Yeah, 140 fish, I think, you know, usually that size fish, 150 fish. That's we'll take that.
That's a good day.
If you average that, you know, a good day of jigging's, you know, 400, 500, 600 is a really good day. But if we can average a ton a day jigging, we're stoked at that.
All right.
And I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. What about bait fishing?
Bait fishing, our best day bait fishing this year was 15 tons.
Whoa!
Yeah.
One day?
In one day, yeah.
Whoa. And I mean, that's getting them. And I would almost associate the bait fishing part with more finessing or more, you know, like trying to make it happen.
And it was gnarly. I mean, there was just a brown wall following us around.
That's crazy.
That's a good day.
So days like that, you got to be there and make your season with that, you know. So, like,
so how do you keep them at the boat? Like with, I mean, because you can only carry so much bait.
Yes.
Water weight.
So a lot of times when they're biting real good, you throw some bait in the beginning to get them started, and then you can just one at a time.
Really?
As you can. They'll, as long as you keep catching them, they'll keep following you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're moving the whole time.
Yeah, that's the thing with the albacore that's different than yellowfin or skipjack when you see that. You have to keep the boat in gear. So sometimes when we're scratching, we'll pull it out of gear, slow down to like 2 knots, kick it back up. But when they're biting, we're going 4 knots around there, 3.5 to 4.5. Usually the better they're biting, the faster you go.
Really?
No kidding.
Because they kind of climb over each other. I can imagine.
Yeah.
They climb over each other to get to where the bait ball is.
They get so excited. If you're going too slow, you'll see on the sonar the fish is out in front of you. They get so excited, they'll push in front of the boat, you know, looking for some more food.
Ah, how crazy.
If we ever get albacore back here, which we
see. What do you mean if?
We do.
Come on.
It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. You think it's going to happen?
Yeah. We're going to need some different weather paths to cool this water off. But, yeah, I think it'll happen again.
Yeah. If we ever do and when we do, would that be a good tactic for a sport boat or a private boat to keep it in gear?
I think, especially for a private boat, like early season when that fish is scattered out and you're only getting jig strikes, instead of stopping the boat, just leave it in gear, you know? Uh-huh. And then so if you say you're going 7 knots, you get a strike, just leave it in gear, go 3 knots, 4 knots, wind the fish in, and then you're going to get that fish following you.
Uh-huh.
You know, because a lot of times, like up there, if we stop the boat, fish just bails. You know, and splits. Hmm. So if you like, you know, if you're jigging and there's a scattered fish, just keep in gear and you'll start getting some stuff to follow you and you can keep it on the jigs.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard when you have a bunch of passengers on a sport boat.
Sure.
You know, but.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, with 30 lines in the water, you can't keep it in gear.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on a private boat, it could work.
Yeah.
And it could be effective.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you have your big gear and just turn the handle and, you know, wind them on your go and then you get that, you know, a little bit following you and keep it with you.
Pretty interesting, huh, Corey?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm into it, really. I mean, it's a really neat thing. And what I like the most is, I mean, the albacore is so darn good eating and it's such an awesome table fare. And I can't wait to get them back, you know, fresh albacore. I'm sure you're tired of it by this point, Aaron. But, you know, to have it locally and have it, you know, like that and the way you're catching them and the way you're harvesting. And I'm into it. I mean, it's really a cool thing. And a lot of people don't realize, like, skipjack tuna is – for the most part, like what you find in a can of quote unquote light chunk tuna.
Yeah,
you know,
skipjack's good meat. It's bad rap, but it's really good fish. Yeah.
It is, but to lay out the way they're caught, I mean, they're caught 100 ton at a time and left in the net in 80 plus degree water.
Yeah,
and by the time they can load them all, they're nearly cooked out.
Mm.
Mush in the water.
The quality's a lot different catching
water.
A lot different.
And that's what I'm trying to lay out.
Yeah, and you can see that, like, you eat a can of that premium pack tuna. It's just, our albacore, it's amazing. It really
and
is.
It is amazing that American tuna is quite, it's a different cut. It's a different grade.
It is. It's like one solid medallion of fish you get.
Yeah.
And it's well worth the price difference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it twice as much? 3 times, roughly?
It's like $6 a can, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's up for a big can.
It's a big
can.
Yeah.
But it's but what I'm getting at is for everything that's gone into catching that albacore and taking care of it one at a time, sustainable, no bycatch, you know, it's you can't put a price on. When you look at the price difference, it isn't that huge of a difference.
It's not. I mean, when you really think about what you're getting and what all goes into it, it's a pretty good deal, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. And so is the demand for that premium product, is it high?
It's high. It's high. Like, we're way behind on our orders because the last 2 years have been a little bit tough fishing. So there's a lot of people that want fish, the canneries and everything. So hopefully this next year, that drives the price up a little bit.
Which is good for you guys,
yeah,
right?
Good year. I mean, we had a decent year the last couple of years, you know, not great or whatever, but it was good enough. And then now hopefully the price will come up and we have a couple good years and really make up for it.
So compare your job today versus your job for the past many years running long-range boats, sport boats, and stuff like that. What do you miss about that? What do you love about what you're doing now?
I grew up sport fishing and I love rod and reeling and seeing all the different things. And, you know, going up and down the Baja Coast is one of my favorite things to do. I still do it on vacation.
Sure.
And, you know, the interaction with the crew and the, you know, the passengers, you know, I met a lot of lifelong friends, you know, that are passengers on these boats. So, I miss that aspect, but I don't miss the, you know, the time constraints and, you know, having to deal with weather when you don't, you know, you have to on the sport boat, you have to figure out something to do in weather, you know, and sometimes you just got to go along the beach or whatever. And it's more, commercial fishing. There's no time constraints. I can fish when I want to, when I don't want to stay out, you know, wherever and go wherever I need to go. So, I mean, we can stay out for 40 days if we have to.
40 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
If we have to, hopefully it's not.
Have you done that?
No, I think 30 days is our longest.
30 days.
Yeah.
Wow. Is it a single engine boat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can go a long ways on a little bit of fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. We burn right around 100 gallons a day with the generator and everything like
that. That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how fast you go?
Like 8 knots. Yeah.
8 knots. But heck.
Yeah.
Super efficient, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. You just take your time. You know, when I first started albacore fishing, I was in such a hurry still. I felt like I was on a 3-day trip and I had to make a catch that day. You know, every day I felt like I had to make a catch, but some days they just don't bite and you got to look and it's just you got to be a little bit more patient. Luckily, I had JJ Gerritsen, you know, in our group and kind of, you know, he's been doing it for a few years before I started, so it helped me out a lot.
Such an awesome guy.
Oh, he's awesome.
An amazing guy,
yeah.
For sure. And his boat, a little bit bigger too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little bigger boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful boat.
Yeah.
The Pikey.
The Pikey's right here in America's Cup Harbor. Too.
Yep.
So when you're fishing and the weather comes up, you can just say, hey, I'm done with this. Let's go in.
Yeah. You either see if it's really bad weather, you know, just go in. And sometimes it's just, you're at that point in the trip where you just need to restart. You know, you have, you know, some fish in the well, maybe you need some more bait or, you know, fuel. And so you either time it out. If you have plenty of bait, fuel, you know, and you still got some room, just put out the sea anchor and hang out and watch movies. And then, you know, if it's that point where it's like, yeah, maybe we should get this fish off and throw some more fuel and top off on bait because it looks like we're having a nice stretch of weather, we'll just go in and, you know, do our little turnaround and wait for the weather to come down and go back out.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned sea anchor. That's something we don't hear a lot of here. Explain a sea anchor for those of us that may not be familiar with what that is.
It's basically a parachute that goes in the water, and they're big. I mean, I think ours is probably 20 feet in diameter.
Wow.
And so we throw a float on the off the end of it, and we have a little bit of chain, and we send rope out. Some of the sport boats will, like, clip them right on their anchors and put them out, but basically it keeps your bow into the wind.
Uh-huh.
So you can, you know, keep your, instead of, you know, getting those swells slapping you on the side when you're drifting, you can just keep the bow into the wind. It's a much more comfortable ride.
Yeah. So if the weather comes up, you can put the sea anchor and keep the boat, like, heading right into it.
Yeah, we got it down where we can put it out and bring it in pretty quick. So even if it's 20 knots, just a little choppy, it's much better sleeping conditions on the sea anchor.
I mean, just imagine putting the boat in gear and traveling at 1 knot and into the weather.
Right.
And that's basically what you're...
Yeah, and a lot of boats up there still do that. They jog. So at night, you know, when it's choppy, they'll jog. But, I mean, if you can just throw a sinker out and save fuel, that's the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. There is some technique, though. You just don't want to go buy a sea anchor and throw it out there, right?
No, you got to have the right one for the boat.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you get a little groove on how to launch it and all that kind of
and,
thing.
And retrieve it, too, right?
And retrieve it. That's definitely a little learning curve.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, as you can hear, we've got a lot of great information for you today here on Let's Talk Hookup. Corey, so much to talk about. And talk about where you just came back from yesterday too. In a minute.
Yeah. Just last night, got back from the Mexican Bass Lakes and
nice.
Yeah, the sister lake to El Salto Picachos, and had a fabulous time. 5 days down there, 4 full days of fishing, and just a great time. But more interested in hearing more from Aaron.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, Aaron's got so much knowledge and so much, and from the sport boats to what he's doing with Albacore, and just, I mean, Aaron's a good guy, period. And you want to join us today, we'd love to have you join us. And we're giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty. We have two ways for you to join us, 877-792-1090, 858-457-1090. We're going to have more from Aaron, more from Albacore Fish, and more from the Long Range Fleet when we come back on Let's Talk Hookup with the Mighty 1090.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
This is Greg Stotz from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is Doug Kern. Nothing could be better for that saltwater angler on your list than a gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad A, Therese, Stella, Tranx, Terramar, Colt Sniper, Torium, Tiagra, Flatfall, and much more from Shimano. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out the perfect gift. Check out our huge selection at saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
Alaska's Katmai Lodge is a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. You'll fish for all 5 species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, and on even years, pinks, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and the nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's U.S. Coast Guard and CPR certified guides are fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in. They are exceptional teachers and ensure you have days that are fish-filled and fun with freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, there are fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon, as well as fresh, delicious meals prepared by their exceptional chef. Elevate your visit with a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. For the best fishing adventure ever, visit katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com.
XFRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, man, what a fun 2 hours we're going to have today, Pete.
Yeah. So let's hear about your trip to Picachos. You flew out of CBX in Tijuana into Mazatlan.
The easiest thing in the world, just like you're going down with Rosie and the gang down to Cedros, through the CBX, the most beautiful thing we've ever had on our border. And
oh, yeah. A third anniversary, I guess, they just celebrated. Too,
yeah.
So, which is cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that fly right into Mazatlan and less than an hour to the lake, and we're fishing.
Less than an hour to Picachos.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And what are the accommodations like there?
It's like they have little casitas on the lake. You know, if you've ever been to El Salto's more of like a, you know, for lack of a better term, like more of like a lodge, like a resort.
Right.
And Picachos is just like little casitas in a row, and they're building it up, man. They were putting TVs in the rooms while we were there, and upgrading. They were building a whole new platform, and they're putting a lot of money into the system there. For
no
sure.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and what compare Lake El Salto to Lake Picachos?
Lake El Salto has that name. It just has, you know, I mean, Aaron's eyes open up. You say El Salto, you know, it just has that mystique, and it's a big fish country. And Picachos is known for the numbers, and we had fish well over 6 pounds, you know, on the scale, six and a quarter. And a lot of 2 to 4 pounders. I mean, a tremendous amount, you know, and it's just... We had that 3 years ago. Like, why aren't those 2 to 4 pounders now 8 pounders? You know, I mean, it should be, and they're probably there somewhere. There are just so many fish. I mean, you fish a crank and you catch 2 at a time sometimes. You know, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And
are there a lot of small ones?
There's a lot of like 3/4. I mean, if you fish for that, you're going to catch, you know, 3/4 to a pound and a half. But we're throwing a little bit larger baits and trying to catch, you know, a little bit better fish, and you still catch a tremendous amount of 2 pounders, you know, 2 to 3. Who's going to complain about that? You know, December and wide open, we had easily 150 fish days of, you know, 2 to 4 pounders. You know, how are you going to complain?
Oh,
right.
And
incredible.
Right. A lot less pressure on that lake, too, right?
A lot less.
Like, when you go to Salto, it's like there's boats everywhere, right,
well,
during the season.
Figure out El Salto. Like, you go to Angler's End or you go to...
Seniors
like place, do, yeah. And between the two places, there's going to be 30 to 35 boats just between the two of them.
Right. And then there's Ron Speed
and a couple other operations.
Couple others,
so
too,
there might be 60, 70 boats plus another 50 Mexican boats fishing tilapia. There could easily be 100 boats on the lake.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you go here and, you know, you might see... you know, 4, 5, 10 other boats fishing tilapia, and you might see another 3 boats from Ron's place and another 3 boats from Angler's End, and it's pretty insane. I mean, to be on a lake that size and wildlife, the parrots, the macaws are flying around. And you know,
because it's more in the mountains, right?
It's beautifully placed in the mountains. It's a paradise.
I gotta check this place
out.
I
hate to talk about it. I don't want
people to know about it. Do you like it better than Salto?
I do. I just like fishing.
Yeah.
You know, like Aaron's talking about fishing. Do you want to go catch a 70-pound albacore, or would you rather catch a 100, you know, 10 to 20 pounders? You know.
Yeah.
So it's just what do you want to do?
Sounds good to me.
I'll bring it on.
Yeah.
In fact, before the trip, I went and bought a DC and
the new Shimano Corrado DC.
Oh man, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah,
one.
Good stuff, huh?
I love it.
Yeah, want to get a couple more?
Well, you know, and it's not just because of the radio show. It's, you know, I wanted to get
it's the real deal.
It wasn't like putting my hand on talking about it.
Sure, you know? I hear you.
I purchased it.
You had to buy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about fishing your MC Weedless down there? Did they bite it?
Phenomenal. Seriously,
yeah?
The last morning we spent 3 hours, and we fished that primarily, the low 4-inch on a 3-0 Gamakatsu, and that up in the junk is so weedless. We had 70 fish, maybe 80 fish, in less than 2.5 hours of fishing.
Yeah. You went with Luke, right?
Yeah. From Angler's Choice. And Luke's a good guy to travel with and room with. And yeah.
Good fisherman, I'm sure.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
definitely a good time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, your trip, you guys are going down there with to El Salto with Senior.
Senior, yeah, Billy Chapman
the,
Senior.
The people going,
love that place.
The people going with you are in for such an awesome time.
Yeah.
If they've never been, it's an experience unlike anything they've done. You know, the only thing close to it would be like going with Aaron on a long range trip. I mean, just the food and the accommodations and the way they take care of you. From the time you park your vehicle in the fisherman's landing lot or whatever lot it is, the way they handle your gear to getting on the boat and handle your fish and take care of you with your meals, it's top notch, and it's very equivalent to what we have in our long range fleet.
Nice. Yeah, they've got it dialed in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're ready to go, right, Aaron?
Yep.
Sounds like fun. Well, we're ready to go. Phones are packed. They want to talk to Aaron, Corey.
They are absolutely packed up. Every line's full. They all went in on that Liberty trip, Pete.
Yeah, for sure.
Now let's talk to Mike. Mike's calling from Yorba Linda this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Aaron, it's Mike Trunk. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? All right. Hey, man, I just really want to say thank you for taking me and 11 buddies down that Apollo to Guadalupe. What an amazing trip it was.
Yeah, that was a great group of guys and amazing fishing. So we lucked out on our timing there. Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure on the trip for you guys.
So what are you going to be running the Apollo anymore this year? What's this plan?
Yeah, I'm thinking we might work out some trips to do down in Puerto Vallarta. So I might be down there running some trips
cool.
on the Apollo, yeah.
All right. Your off-season, Aaron, is from October to June?
Yep.
So but you got to have to do a little boat work, too, or no?
Yeah, about 2-3 weeks. We cram it all in pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're really off. Available for the whole winter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
spring.
Yeah, in between hunting trips and the kids, just do
a few
trips here and there. Yeah.
Sounds like good life, right? Yeah, that sounds really good. So you may be running some Apollo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So coming up in Puerto Vallarta. So they run trips, I think, from January 1st into May. So sometime in there, I'll be filling in on some. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Cool. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call this morning. So you said that tuna fishing's still good. Here we are, almost the first of the year, almost Christmas, and that tuna fishing at Guadalupe is still...
It was really good. And I just talked to Renee this morning on the way here, and he had a great... On the Shogun, he had a great trip as well. I mean, it was amazing fish. It was like, you know, that average, I'd say, was like 60, 70-pound fish. You know,
that was the average.
Average, yeah. And then a few bigger, you know, over 100, but... you know, we were just drifting and keeping 4, 5, 6 going, and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Issues with sharks or no?
No sharks.
They just kind of disappear
after
this time
about
here,
Thanksgiving.
Right?
You really see them back off. I don't know where they go, but nice.
And it seems like we had a couple really big fronts that came through too at that time. And I wonder if that has some relation to do with their departure.
Yeah, and it might have condensed that fish at the island because there's kind of fish scattered all over the place. And then so we like on our way down, it was through a front, and then we had nice weather when we were there. And then it blew a little bit after, and so maybe all that fish kind of. Gathering up at that south end and making it a little bit easier.
Wow.
There was incredible sign of fish there, just amazing schools of fish.
So, really?
Yeah, it was a good sign.
December, late December.
Yep.
How about that, huh?
Yep.
That's got to be great to see for sure. All right, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. One line open on each. Let's jump back into it, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Ed. Ed's calling from Mira Mesa. Good morning and welcome to the show this morning, Ed.
Hi, guys. I have a couple questions. One is, Aaron, have you experienced crossing the Columbia River Bar down there? And can you explain how rough it is to maybe the listeners and that? And also on storage of gear, can anybody enlighten me on what I should do to get things ready for storage if there's something I can spray on them and that?
When I cross Columbia River Bar, it's been pretty nice weather. I think the two worst ones, bars that came out of a Eureka was pretty bad. That one lumps up pretty good. And then Westport, you know, it breaks. You got to be careful. So, but that weather there, the thing with those spots up there is there's so much current. So you have to time it right. You don't want to be coming out on an outgoing tide because then it really pushes those swells up and you can start getting breakers and stuff like that. So you just time it on a right on the high tide or flooding tide and it knocks down that swell and everything like that. But it can get pretty sketchy. And then our time of the year in summer, the weather's pretty good, but those crabbers, they get some real weather coming in and out of those bars.
That's gnarly.
I can imagine. When you say bars, these are sandbars that are created by the rivers?
Yeah, basically you have little shallows you're coming into them, but it moves around, you know, here and there, and most of them have decent enough channels, you know, and it's decent enough deep water, but when you get, say, a 15, 18-foot swell in the wintertime, you know, it can get pretty sketchy.
Yeah, makes you want to get your surfboard out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, some pretty good surf in Westport.
Is there?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. So most of these harbors, if not all, I don't know for sure, but are river mouths, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you got, you know, you got all that flow coming out from the river as well. And then with the tides, it makes a lot of current. I mean,
imagine it gets gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, 4 or 5 knots current at times.
Woo.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize, I mean, we on average in Southern California have like a 4 to 6 foot tidal change, and up there it could be 14.
Yeah, and it builds a lot of momentum, you know, when it comes out of these narrow straits. So the water builds momentum, it kind of keeps going, and then when it floods, it really gathers some momentum too, and the tides are a lot higher and a lot lower. So makes a big difference.
Yeah. Now, as far as gear storage, I don't really store my gear. I just, like, kind of leave it ready to go. But, I mean, any hints, you guys, on – I don't know that you really need to do anything special to store your gear for a couple months, right?
Just with our reels, we just freshwater them off, and then, you know, just a light spray off, and then maybe that corrosion X or whatever on there. Just trying to get on your line, but, you know, on all the aluminum and parts and all that, especially where, like, your stainless studs going to the back of the reel. Just try and, you know, keep a little lube on there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep that salt off of there, number one, right? Yep. And a little corrosion X is a good product.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Easy stuff, Eddie. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that. That does free up 858-457-1090. Open right now.
All right. Let's do it. You want to
jump in the phones?
Yeah. What about the Castman
report?
Oh,
wait a minute. Let's do it. Yeah.
Hey, mentioning that, the Catch Report is sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook. It sets a standard for quality and innovation, strength and durability. You should make the Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hook your go-to hook. It has the strength and durability as well as the right design that makes it easy to hook your bait, put the fish on the deck, get the Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hook at your favorite tackle store. And that's what I was using in the 4-inch was not the Nautilus, but
yeah,
their Superline swim bait 3-aught hook and a 4-inch, and it's money.
There's nothing better than that hook.
Well, you wouldn't believe you're talking about a 4-inch bait, but we're fishing it on 30-pound leader. 50-pound braid through the junk and literally lifting the fish up and over the sticks.
Sweet.
I love it. Let's
do it.
Good
stuff. All right, Castman, good morning.
Hey, buenos dias, Pedro.
Castman.
Hey, you know, you guys got me all worked up talking about fishing El Salto, you know, and it would sure be wonderful to have a few weedless MC baits in my tackle box.
Oh, listen to them.
We're going
to
do it.
I
tell you, Cass, I've done very well with them at El Salto. Literally on the bank, pulled into the water. When you have any type of structure up against the bank, it's dinero, money.
Yeah. How big?
I love dinero. And anyway, I look forward to getting a nice care package from you, Marty.
Well, it's not Marty. It's Corey.
I'm sorry, Corey.
Yeah, you're dating yourself now, Cass.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
How many years has it been, Pete?
Yeah, since Marty hasn't been with us, it's been like 15, something like that.
Yeah, 12? But since I started the show.
Oh, since you started, it's like 25, 26 years. Does that mean we're getting old, Cass?
Oh, you know, I got a few years on you, too.
Yeah, man. You do. Yeah, but you're still going strong.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to. I'm keeping up. You know, setting up, taking nourishment, and all that good stuff.
That a boy.
Anyway, listen, fishing is really, really hot down there in Cabo right now for the striped marlin. It's they're getting in closer, too. You know, that finger bank was still holding a lot of marlin out there. There's, you know, boats that are heading out there and making that 50-mile trip. They're averaging about 15 to 20 releases per day, some boats even more. But they are getting a little closer now. Golden Gate's holding them. The Jaime Bank has got them, and they're as close as, you know, 1 or 2 miles outside the harbor there. And about the average for the Cabo fleet's about 2 to 3 releases per day. So really, really good striped marlin bite. Few sails mixed in, few blue marlin mixed in. Dorado bite, fairly good there. You know, limits per day is about the average. But, you know, it's only 2 Dorado per day on the Mexican limits down there. The yellowfin tuna out of Cabo, they're locating the schools at 20, 25 miles out under the porpoise, 25, 30-pound fish. Along the beaches there, the roosters are coming in fairly well, sierras and plenty of jack. So some good fishing going on there. This past week, the Gordo Bank gave up a 313-pound yellowfin, a big cow that was taken by some local pongeros there. So there's still some big fish out at the Gordo. You got to, you know, put some time in to get them, trolling some bigger baits. We'll get down to Mazatlan there. They've got a mixture of sails and striped marlin there, about a 1 per boat per day average there, a few Dorado in the mix, and that's about it for there. But Ixtapas y Huantenejo, doing really well. Blue water out 10 to 15 miles out, getting 2 to 3 sails releases per boat per day. A little bit further out, say 30 miles, there's some yellowfin tuna out there, nothing really big. I'll say 20 to 40-pound fish out there. And in with the sails, they're getting some nice quality Dorado up to 40, 45 pounds. On the beaches, fairly good rooster fish and jack. So some really good fishing at those three hot spots. Just to let the guys know, on our March 12 to 17 trip to Ixtapa, I've got room for 4 anglers, 2 rooms left on that trip. Right now we're sitting at 16 anglers, and I could use two more groups of two. Anybody wants to get on that trip? We still have one boat left to fish with Ricky on the Pesca Panama, April 6th to 13th. So anybody wants to join us on that trip, I got room for two or one angler on that. Also, don't forget we've got our Loretto Rumble, May 19 to 23. Got a few rooms left on that trip. So anybody wants to join us on any of those trips, give me a call at Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or on the web at www.casstours.com, and I'll talk to you boys next Saturday.
Nice job, Cass. Yeah, I know a lot of people booked for that Loretto Rumble in May, so you better get on it and come with it. That's going to be a fun trip.
Oh, yeah. No, that thing is shit fell out. And so anyway, you guys have a good week, and I'll see you guys next Saturday.
Thanks, Cass, man. Appreciate that very much.
Sounds right. Like good stuff. Today it's sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your offshore fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin. And now Terrafin Mobile, you can take it with you on your iPad, iPhone, or Android device. Just download the latest chart before you leave, and all the information is right there for you. Check Terrafin.com for more information. I bet that's a lot of what you use too, Aaron.
Yeah, I check it every day, even if I'm off the boat.
Yeah, so, it becomes like your daily...
Yeah, it's just curious to see what's going on with the water. And
Yeah.
So moving. When you're albacore fishing, though, that's like critical.
Yeah.
Being in the right zone.
Yeah. Multiple times a day.
Like,
yeah.
What's the ideal temperature you guys look for?
You know, we start seeing fish in like 58, 59, mm-hmm. and then when we start getting bait fishing, it's, you know, mid-60s, 63 to 65, 66.
Oh, it gets that
like
warm
that.
Up there.
We had 68-degree water for a little bit.
Wow.
Grease calm. We don't like to see it that warm, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, 64 seems to be about right, but...
That's the ideal temp.
Yeah.
Pretty
average
amazing.
There, yeah.
Are you looking for edges? Are you looking for, like... The warmer side of the edges, the colder side of the
edges? Yeah, like early season, for sure, the warmest water, you know, when we come around. But, you know, a lot of times, like if August, September, I don't even look at the actual temp. You just look at the chlorophyll charts.
Oh.
And then, so you want kind of that off blue where you see some blue pushing into some green or those color edges and stuff like that. So you kind of don't even, you know, as long as the water's in the 60s, you know, it's fine. And then warm enough or... And then just look for those chlorophyll edges.
Why the chlorophyll edges?
That's where the bait's at.
Uh-huh.
That's where the bait's going to be stacked up at. And they like, you know, bait's obviously got to feed on that plankton and stuff like that. So, you know, you see sometimes, you know, that fish will push it into the clean water, or sometimes you got to go into the green water to find the fish. Wherever that food's at, you'll find them.
Okay.
So it seems like that off blue, we call it Oregon blue. It's kind of like a green tint to the blue water. That's what we do most of our fishing.
Okay. So actually, on the dirtier side of the edge?
Most of the time. This year, we had some great fishing in ultra clear water, which is pretty rare, but, you know, it just depends, I guess, you know, on every year. But typically, it's like off blue, like green, just greenish tint, we'll find it. You know, and then that big fish we'll find in nasty green water, you know, because that's where a lot of the food's at, and that bigger bait, so it'll be in there.
So now you're catching your own bait too, right?
Yeah, we mostly buy our bait. We got a net and a pole
oh,
and all that, but because we can fit more. So we're not a big boat. You know, we're not one of those 80, 90-ton boats. So we can fit about 320 scoops of that bait we catch, or we can fit a little over 400 of that cured bait we get the receiver. So money-wise, it works out sometimes having the extra bait, you know,
okay.
just to be able
cured.
To catch cured. We can fit more and then catch more fish with it, so it makes it more cost-effective.
Sure. And what kind of bait are you using?
Anchovies.
It's all anchovies?
All anchovies, yeah. There's a few sardines and other stuff mixed in there. It's fine. But, yeah, anchovies are what we want. Like 4-inch, you know, like about that size.
Uh-huh.
More bang for your buck with a 4-inch in a scoop of bait than there is with a 6-inch.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, a lot of the guys with bait pull, they like some of that bigger bait, but I actually like, you know, 3-4 inch, because you can fit so many more pieces, you know, in there. It's crazy the amount, I mean, almost twice as many pieces, 3-inch, you know, it's even 5-inch bait.
Yeah. So. When you're trolling, what kind of lures are you using?
Same ones we troll here.
Do you?
For everything, yeah. This, the lure that was hot this year was the Zucchini Zucker.
The Zucchini
and, yeah, they call it the abortion one, the green,
uh-huh.
and the green and blue one.
Yep.
That was hot. And then, like last year, some of the clones are really hot, and we use a lot of those hex heads, the six shooters.
Okay.
Yeah. So we make our own. You know, we change the colors out all the time, but, yeah.
And when you're trolling, how many lines in the water?
Typically, we use about 12.
12?
Yeah, 12 lines. You know,
that's so crazy.
We have a little pinch puller, so we'll pull long lines on the pinch puller and then the short lines by hand. You know, so we have lines that are even fathom and a half, you know, 9 feet back, and then the longest lines we have are 12 fathoms. So we fish our gear pretty short, you know, compared to a lot of guys, but you can get the fish in quicker and get the jig back out. Yeah.
You know, we had Dave Hansen on here like 4 months ago, and he mentioned, well, he's been on here since, but he mentioned a Netflix show by Battlefish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I've watched, you know, like five of the six or whatever, most of them. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're even remotely curious of what is going on, that Battlefish might draw it up pretty good, huh?
Yeah, pretty good. Bit. I'd like to say we're a little bit more professional.
Yeah, I was going to say, guys are, I know Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's a pro, man. Those guys are pretty lame.
But I mean, as far as getting on the fish, and there are times where they're jigging them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we do a lot of jigging. I think the first four trips we had were jigging, and then bait fishing is where we make our money at, though.
Yeah. And, you know, there's even a skiff on there that does it. But, I mean, for the most part, a boat like yours, you know, the bait fishing part, it's pretty finessey, man. It's not, you know, hundreds of fish at a time. I mean, you're literally, it's several guys.
Yeah, so we have three guys in the rack, you know, and then a lot of times it's just picking at them, you know, one here, one there, and then sometimes you get in those spots or they bite that little time frame of the day where they really get going.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll have
tacks for 300-400 sometimes.
But that's what I mean, finesse. Yeah. It's you have three guys that are trying to round up, just keep one fish going, you know.
Yeah, just trying to keep one coming over the side. Yeah. A lot of times you'll see them. You'll see 100, 200 of them swimming there, and they'll come up and they'll look at your scampi and, you know, and then back off, and it's like it's hard to get a bite. You start bait pulling and getting a few, and then it's, you know, you get that little window of the day where they want to bite, and you can really put some on. So.
Yeah. So mostly you're using like small scampies on the end of like a bamboo pole.
Yeah. So these are squids, you know, or what we call squids. They're like maybe a 3-ounce head with a barbless hook, and then we medical tape on a scampi on there, and that little scampi tail replaces the chicken feathers like you'd see previously used back in the day. So they just swim better, a little more action on there.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, we use fiberglass poles, you know, like the Calstar and Seeker gaff blanks are what we really use. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they work really good.
Wow.
And then
how long is the line coming off the end of the pole?
So we use like 8- and 10-foot poles, and it's every fisherman adjusts it a little bit, but, you know, probably about 6 feet long or so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How many total crew do you have?
So we have a chummer, three guys in the rack, and myself. So five total.
So five total. So you're running the boat, the chummer's throwing the bait, and then three guys in the rack pulling.
Yeah.
Do they ever rotate?
No, mostly Charlie's my chummer, you know, and you get a good chummer who knows what's going on, you know, can manage the bait and everything, you keep him there. That's the most important job on the boat, for sure.
Because you don't want to throw too much, you don't want to throw too little, right?
Right, right. Yeah. You got to be able to read the fish. And I tell him what I see, you know, and he adjusts from there. But he's really seeing the picture of what's going on, how the fish are reacting to the bait, you know, when they're coming on. And it's really important to have a good chummer up there.
Yeah, there's so much to it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Are you in the wheelhouse or do you have an outside station near?
I'm in the wheelhouse. I got deck cameras, so it makes it a lot easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're running the boat. Obviously, your job is pretty entailed, too. What are you looking at? You're looking at the school?
Mostly the sonar, you know, so we'll tilt up a little bit and bring the range back and see where the fish are at on the boat. You know, because you got to follow them. They want to go their own little ways. Sometimes you got to kick the boat up a little bit and stay on them, and sometimes they get too far back. You got to slow down a little bit and pick up the chum and that sort of thing. So just try and keep them there in the corner and interested. And yeah, so they definitely, whatever it is, current or, you know, whatever depicts which way they want to go.
When you're running the boat, do you ever have occasion where you're having to dodge other boats fishing the same schools?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like we're all pretty civil about it most of the time.
Yeah,
you know, and it's funny because like the Canadian fishermen, they tack differently than we do, so we're kind of always crossed up and don't really like mixing it up with those guys. But
Canadian fishermen can fish in the U.S.
There's
waters.
There's 45 boats that are allowed to fish in our waters, and it's kind of a sore subject.
And we can't fish in Canada.
We can, but there's no reason to go up there. Oh, there is. There's fish up there, but there's no reason for us to go there. There's plenty.
That's too far.
Yeah, it's too far. I mean, when we can fish right out in front of the river or Westport and then do quick unloads, that's the way to go.
Huh.
So
sore subject with the Canadians.
Though. Yeah.
too many people coming down here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always politics, right?
It is. And as you can hear, we're having a fun show. And give us a shout. We want you to join us. 877-792-1090, 858-457-1090. You're going to have a chance to win a trip on the Liberty of the Fishermen's. We're having a fun time in the studio. Give us a shout. Let's talk hookup on the Mighty 1090.
here to tell you about our friends Jim and Mary and their incredible crew at Poway Valley Collision. I hear it all the time. Hey, I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, and you were right. Mentioned you guys, and they gave us the VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them now, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And I'm not fooling. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, and Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. I had my car repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
It's long range time at the Ridge and Lower Banks. Time to get your gear. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica for tuna, Trinidad for wahoo, matched with a Therez rod. Choosing the right size Talica, Trinidad, and Therez is the trick, and that's where we come in, with more experience and expertise on long-range fishing than anyone. Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the Shimano gear for your long-range trip. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hard-working crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, you know, Corey, you had the experience this past week down at Picachos with the brand-new Shimano Corrado
DC-150. And I'll tell you, I'm so stoked I bought one, picked it up, walked into Luke's, purchased it. So this isn't like I was given one.
They didn't give you one.
Giving the endorsement. That reel is the blank blank. It's I was throwing little baits on it, and you could throw them a mile. No, I mean, you have to worry about
like
a backlash.
Small crankbaits.
Small baits. You could throw them a mile accurate. No sign of backlashing. The drag system on them is amazing.
Yeah. And it's got a digital. The DC stands for digital control. It monitors the spool at 1,000 times a second to keep the backlash out. What an amazing technology. And here's the catch. $250 for that reel. The DC Trinidad came out, it was $700-$800.
I'm telling you, this reel should easily be in the $350 mark. Yeah, I mean, it's a reel that's well worth the $250. You got to check one out at your local shop.
Yeah, Shimano Corrado DC-150. It's an amazing piece of work that Shimano's done it again at your local Shimano dealer.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. We're having an absolute blast in studio today.
Oh, yeah. Great to have Aaron in the studio, and thank you, Aaron, for taking the time to come in here and talk albacore fishing, long-range fishing, and more. This is your chance. Only one line open. You want to get through. It's 858-457-1090 open right now. Let's go ahead and jump into the phones.
Talking about albacore, let's talk to Dennis. Dennis is calling from Norwalk this morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Dennis.
Morning, Dennis.
Yes, I just like to know about the albacore fishing. You mentioned a little bit about the cheetah temperature of the water. Is that something to look for on the regular tuna that's out there? You know, are they the same to swim in big schools?
Yeah, typically early on when the water's cooler, the fish is real spread out, you know, and it's not balled up yet. And it depends on when that bait wants to ball up. Just like out here when all that bluefin gets on foamers and all that, when that water temp gets a little warmer and that anchovy balls up and the bait balls, that's the same thing we see up there. And it's like, you know, the warmer the water is, the faster that bait grows. So when we get up there, it's little see-through baits that are about a half inch long, and they grow rapidly over a couple months to, you know, 2-inch baits, 3-inch baits with some color in them. As soon as they get color to them, they ball up, and that's typically when the water gets around 63, 64, something like that. We start seeing that.
Grows fast.
Yeah.
Why is there so much anchovy up there? Just such nutrient-rich waters? Or?
Yeah, the waters, I mean, like we had back here, I mean, I remember being at the beach when I was a kid here, and the water was green in the wintertime, mm-hmm. all winter. And I went, you know, took my daughter to the beach in January last year, the water was blue and 60 degrees. So we need that nutrients and that green water to feed that bait. And there was a lot of bait around this year, don't get me wrong, you know, between Clemente and the mainland there and all that. But to really get the volume and the mass that we used to, we need that water to roll over and have some big storms come through and get that water to turn green, you know, and roll up and get all that nutrients from down deep up on the surface where it can be utilized.
And that green water is where the nutrients are that the bait fish, it's the beginning of life, right?
Right. It's all the plankton, just the green water is just plankton in there, you know.
And a lot of that, too, everything you're talking about, the greener water, the colder water, the green water is cover for them. And the colder water keeps the predatory fish, the barracuda and the bonito, and it keeps that stuff at bay, too. So it all kind of falls in line with the comfort factor and a place to live, eat, and kind of hide.
Right, exactly. And it'll be, you know, where we fish, especially in on the beach there, it'll be, you know, 55-degree water 10 miles east of us, and we're in 65-degree water. So there's a huge temperature change there with a lot of current and mixture of water and stuff going on.
That's crazy. Yeah. And I'll tell you locally what I noticed working for the bait company was whenever we had clean water and a little bit warmer, and you would catch it all at night.
Right.
On the bank, like on the 9 Mile Bank or in La Jolla Canyon or, you know, associated with very deep water where they could sink out literally 500 to 1,000 feet. During the day and hide, and then come up at night to feed in the lights at night.
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah, so they come up and feed on the planktonic layer on the surface at night. So it's kind of, you know, I mean, it's a gnarly world to be an anchovy.
It is. I mean, you see that with that mackerel, you know, we're down on the, you know, fishing for bait down below. It's like you don't see any bait during the day, none.
No.
And that blue water, and then at night, it's like, oh, man, every
where did it all come from?
Every mackerel in the ocean's here, yeah.
Yeah. It sinks out so deep in the colder water, you know.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that very much. That does free up 858-457-1090. Corey, did you hear the big news? Shelter Island Boat Ramp opening this Friday.
Is it?
Yes, December 21st. Finally.
3 years?
I don't know.
Over two years.
It's been a long time.
It's been over two.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to open officially. They have announced it, right?
Right.
We'll see if they make it. But I think this is for real deal.
Let's
do it. I was by there the other day, and it's looking good. They've done a phenomenal job. And so this Friday, December 21st, Shelter Island Boat Ramp, they say the busiest launch ramp in the state.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's what they said is going to reopen. And, of course, in this week's edition of Western Outdoor News, they have a full article with pictures of the old versus the new, which was a pretty interesting contrast to see how much more space there's going to be in the launch ramp. It's not wider. The launch ramp isn't any wider. It doesn't need to be wider. It's just more space in the turning basin, more dock space. You're not going to have to worry about backing your boat up into the rocks anymore because the wall's straight up and down.
Right.
There's no rocks anymore. It's just a seawall.
And the the exit, the port there is right in the center instead of off to the side.
How clever is that?
Right?
For sure. So check it out. This week's edition of Western Outdoor News, full details on that and a lot more bluefin tuna and all that stuff. So congratulations to the port for finally getting things open.
We have to remember, though, it's so cool. San Diego, we have all the free ramps. They're free.
Yes.
You know, and the city offers them for free. And whether you're out of Mission Bay or San Diego, we have an awesome thing here in our county for sure.
Pretty fortunate for sure. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Rich. Rich is calling from Bradley. Welcome to Let's Talk Cook Up this morning, Rich.
Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I've got a question for Captain Aaron. I'm wondering, what are some of the lessons that he's learned from his commercial operation fishing for albacore that we could apply to our fishing as party boat anglers? And speaking of party boat anglers, what are some of the tips he might be able to pass along to us if we were to maybe make a road trip up in that direction and try to get on a party boat and pursue albacore?
I'll answer that question first. Actually, Westport has quite the little fleet of boats that go out. They fish rockfish and salmon and albacore. And they're like, they're kind of like those little deltas, kind of like the Pacific Dawn or the, you know, one of those type boats, you know. And they don't have quite the accommodations or not quite the boats that they are down here, like Pat has. But they have, you know, a lot of nice little boats that go out and they can do that. And it's typically like in September, the fish is pretty close, you know. for their, you know, what would you say, recreational fishing, you know, enough to catch them on rod and reel.
What's close?
40 miles, 30 miles.
Oh, okay. Real close. Yeah.
How about if you get an overnight trip, you can go get a limited albacore.
Sure. And yeah. Westport is, where would you fly into? Portland?
Seattle.
Into Seattle.
Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think there's some little smaller charter boats out of Owaco, but Westport's pretty much where you want to go out of. And there's better accommodations there.
Westport is southwest of Seattle?
Southwest of Seattle, correct. Yeah. Grays Harbor is like the county there. So
I don't know why, but leaving a San Diego landing. Albacore, yes, I get it. But to go on a sport boat somewhere else, you know, like up the coast like
I'm
that.
I'm with you, Corey.
It just doesn't sound appealing. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't.
I mean, but it's a different deal. It would be interesting to try it once.
Yeah.
If you go up there during that salmon season, I mean, they literally at the mouth of the bay, they're catching limits of salmon. And the rock fish in there is, I was dumbfounded, like them just carrying, you know, I see these lingcod coming off that are like, you know, from these guys' hip to the ground. You know?
Really?
It's like, oh, I thought that was a nice one. But no, they're all like that.
They're all big. That's crazy.
Yeah, giant, a ton of rockfish.
Do they get a lot of fishing pressure up there or not that many?
I mean, there's a little fleet there, but I can imagine there's got to be a lot of fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Really
for sure.
Cool.
And then, basically, what we learned, sport fishing carries more into commercial fishing, the scratching aspect of it. There's not a whole lot, you know, I learned more about actually finding fish up there doing that just because you're spending so much time on the water. But all the little things we've learned, like finesse fishing and stuff like that, sport fishing carries over more into commercial fishing.
Like big time. And then you can carry some of your commercial stuff, the way you're tracking them and getting them to follow you and letting them catch up. And that kind of thing, you carry it over to the sport fleet. It's kind of cool.
Right. Like fluorocarbon, you know, that's been a big thing for us up there is using
really?
That. Yeah, especially doing scratch fishing and stuff like that.
No kidding. Putting it on the poles?
On the poles and on the jig rods.
Yeah. So you're trolling with
jig
fluorocarbon.
Poles, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. But on the bait pool, when you talk fluorocarbon, and I'm going to just take a wild guess, maybe 40 pound, 50 pound?
No, he is 150.
There it is.
150,
see?
Yeah.
No,
and
thought,
they still bite it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I thought I was going heavy, right?
Yeah.
Hello. Well, you can hear we're having an awesome time in studio with Aaron, and we're having a great time, and we'll be right back on Let's Talk Hookup, the Mighty 1090.
38 years ago, my parents started Fastlane Sailing Center. They sold catamarans because they wanted to do what they loved and sell what they loved to do. They wanted to share their passion with others, share the stoke. I'm Hayden Lane, and over the last 3 decades, my parents have shared that passion with thousands of people, my brother, sister, and I among them. We grew up right there at the shop in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay, sailing on the bay, fishing off the docks, and later off the Hobie Mirage kayaks. We grew up surrounded by the water. Our shop was filled with tools that Hobie and other brands have made to enjoy on the water. And I use them all. I mean all of them. Wouldn't you? So when you come into the shop, you're not going to hear a salesperson trying to convince you to buy something. You're going to hear us bragging about how much fun we have on these toys and telling you to do the same. We test every product out there, and we only sell the best because we want to use the best. So check out our website at fastlanekayaking.com or get on down to the shop in Dana Landing and find your next adventure.
This is Chelsea from Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We are truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect up to 4 anglers, or the Impulse, up to 6 anglers in comfort and style. Dana Landing has a huge tackle shop with everything you need to go fish bay bass, tuna, or marlin, and our staff will dial you in. We even have Mexican and California fishing licenses and reel repair. Our deli at Dana Landing is a local's favorite with all the food, ice, and beverages you need. Hey, need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle, the ultimate in rods and reels, the latest freshwater lures and live bait. ECBT has a staff second to none when it comes to sharing their passion for fishing. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance, still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's SNAPPINS.com.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The mighty 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Quality is the name of the game at Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay. Free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, plus a great fleet. It's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Tomahawk, Prowler, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing, for charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.